Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Kempire is brought to you by
Philly. The Kempire After Dark live experience is coming to you first on July 10th. Yeah, that's the same day that Real Housewives of Orange County is premiering, but our show will be better. I guarantee it. It's a night of hot topics, comedy, and so much more with special guest Alexander Rogers. We spilling tea as well. And don't forget, if you are in Atlanta, I'll be there on August 5th. Then we'll be in D.C. on August 22nd. Then back here in New York City on September 12th. All shows have meet and greets available, so get those if you don't already, if you want a picture with me or Kiki with me. And don't forget, the New York City show has a live stream option exclusively. And what I say in Washington, D.C., Philly, or Atlanta will not be the same thing that I mentioned in New York City. And don't forget, you have access to that live stream link for at least a week. Be sure to check out the description for more details on how you can be a part of the Kempire After Dark, The Villain Era live summer tour.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
It's the weekend update with Kempire.
I need a theme song. I just felt like I should sing our weekend update. Yes, it's another installment. You guys are going to, I'm going to spoil you guys with doing a weekend update every single weekend. And I told you, do not expect a weekend update every weekend. But then I always think there's so many stories, especially in covering the Diddy of it all. There's so much other things that are happening in the world that we don't get to talk about because I'm covering Diddy. And I know I give you guys a summary that sometimes is like an hour, hour and a half, but throughout the day, I am engulfing myself in the Diddy of it all to make sure that I'm able to add context to some of the summaries that we're talking about. But there's so much more Diddy stuff to talk about, but I don't want to jump into that first. Happy weekend. It's a rainy weekend here in New York City. And I really said to myself, okay, so this weekend, it's Pride Month. So every borough is having sort of their own Pride celebration. So I said, okay, I think I'm going to go to Brooklyn Pride because I've never been to Brooklyn Pride. And I was like, okay, let me see if I can do that. So I Google schmoogle, you know, when everything is, but I had a couple of things I would need to do beforehand. And I said, okay, it's raining now, but maybe it'll be better in a little bit. But literally, as I'm doing this, it's still raining, but it's like a weird rain. It'll be a little drizzle. Then it's pouring. And ain't nobody want to be outside trying to be like, oh, and it's raining. That's not enjoyable to me. And then the whole point of me getting out there and celebrating would be now I'm annoyed and I'm wet and I'm the bunches of people around me. Then the other thing that I was considering doing was going to the center. As you know, we're raising money on my YouTube channel. For those that don't know, and you just listen to me here on the podcast, but if maybe you're listening to the podcast version on YouTube, don't forget we are raising money for the center, the LGBT center here in New York City. They're having a block party today in celebration of Juneteenth. I think a lot of people are focusing on the things that are being cut in regards to this administration, because this administration, as you know, is having their own whatever you want to call it. But we are all, Danielle told me that people are calling it on social media President Obama Day. I'm okay with that. I'm here for that. Some people are calling it No King's Day. So I'm here for any celebration that is not celebrating someone's ego. So here we are. So happy President Obama Day. Happy. And here's the thing. I got to say this because this is my podcast and this is my platform, because a lot of people, including our own people, like to dog out President Obama and say he wasn't a great president, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, y'all see what we have now, what we had back in 2016? no president is going to be perfect and no president is going to please every single person. But President Obama achieving what he was able to achieve within the time that he was able to achieve it, and being a black man, and being a black man that could never do 1% of what we see some of these people doing now. Shout out to President Obama, okay? And shout out to him for inspiring an era and a nation, because, yes, President Biden, fantastic, would prefer him over what we have now. However, no one inspired us in speeches the way that President Obama did. That man was is a fantastic orator, and I do miss the inspiration, not only that he represented as a person and as a president, but what he would say in his words. And he did that before he was president, when he was a senator from Chicago. So, yes, we miss President Obama. So happy President Obama Day. Happy No Kings Day. Happy Juneteenth. That's happening this week. You know, we have some Juneteenth merch. Shameless plug. We also have some Pride merch. And all of it's new for this year for it with our new logo. So be sure to check that out. I'll post the links in the episode notes. All right, so happy No Kings Day, happy rainy day here in New York City. I just took it as a sign from the universe. Stay your butt inside, because you've been out all week. And when I say out all week, I've been working all week. So maybe I just need to stay my butt in the house and do nothing. But here I am recording a podcast. But this doesn't feel like work to me, but it is. The other thing I did last night, after having a very busy day, so even me taking the night off to go see Purpose on Broadway. I saw Purpose on Broadway. I keep telling everyone about it. They're not paying me. It's just a really great show. It's directed by Felicia Rashad, LaTanya Richardson Jackson, you know, Samuel Jackson's wife, who's also an actress. She's in it. It's so good. It's so good that I'm going to go see it again. I have to go see it again before they leave the theater at the end of August. But I'm telling everyone, because you guys always like my recommendations. So please understand, if you're in New York City or will be in New York City this summer, go get tickets. It's funny. It's thought-provoking. It's just so good. And now I understand why it won Best Play at the Tony Awards. And it really should have won more awards. It also won Best Featured Actress with Cara Young. She was fantastic in it. But then I'm looking at some of the other people that were in it. They all deserved an award. It was so good. So go see Purpose on Broadway if you haven't already. Okay? Or go see it again, because I feel like I could enjoy it again and pick up different things that I didn't pick up the first time around. It's one of those types of things. Some of you have already seen it when it was, I think it was in Chicago when it was being played there. So it's so good. I enjoyed it. All right. I've digressed yet again. So I am going to go see another Broadway play next week. I've been very lucky. People have set me up with opportunities. Unlike our friends over at Bravo, mind you, Bravo, I've been reporting on, I've worked with them in regards to them featuring my content before. We were just talking about how the Real Housewives of Miami's ratings were low. But I say all that to say, people have reached out to give me opportunities that I don't even report on Broadway like that. But recently I did. I was talking about Audra McDonald, and someone saw it and they were like, well, we would love for you to go to this particular play and blah, blah, blah. Not asking me to do anything. Not saying, oh, we'll give you tickets in exchange for anything. No, they know their stuff is so good that I'm going to want to talk about it. And that's exactly what happened. I've digressed. Let's move on. There are other news stories that I want to talk about. There's a few things I want to talk about. Again, for those that don't follow me on YouTube and things like that, I have to talk about Simon and Portia's divorce and prenup being upheld in their divorce. We've got to talk about some Bravo, a lot of Bravo related news in regards to Real Housewives of Miami. We've got to talk about Andy Cohen's contract being renewed till 2028. We've got to talk about Monique Samuels. We've got a lot to talk about. But before we get to any of that, I want to talk about Drew Sidora. And I talked about Drew Sidora before and what's been going on with her man. So she did an interview on Lip Service and she was talking about, well, she did an interview on The Breakfast Club, and I'm surprised we didn't pick up on this, on Ralph possibly getting someone pregnant. But then on Lip Service, she talked about Ralph bringing some woman in the basement. I'm like, Because no matter how much Ralph has been crashing out. I've talked about this in a separate video. I'll include it in this roundup. But Ralph has been crashing out on social media. I'm like, what is going on with him? You would have thought that Drew would have said something or did something for him to be on social media, crashing out, dropping receipts about how she was with Ty Young. She was dating Black. Mind you, he doesn't have receipts of her having any of these people in their home. And even if she did, I'm sure you cheated first. I'm pretty much convinced that you cheated first. I mean, she's accused you of cheating over the years. And we still don't know what happened with Tampa. He's now claiming that Tampa was the storyline. She answered him in regards to that. Now he's what is he claiming? Oh, he's claiming that all of her little antics that she did since being a part of Real Housewives of Atlanta were orchestrated by him. And I said, sir, you should not be proud of that. Her throwing the doggy bone at Fatoum. I'm like, oh, so you were the cornball that came up with that. I should have known. I just thought, I was like, because remember, those are the years that we were just looking at Drew like, Drew, like, this is corny. This is so self-producing. But now we know. Now I can love Drew even more, knowing that that wasn't her idea. She was just standing by her husband, who's thinking that these are going to be iconic moments. And they were not iconic moments. And it's so interesting that Drew is more likable this season with you not being around her and orchestrating any stupidity. It's very interesting. Very, very interesting. And I love that for you, Drew. I love that for you. Okay. So it looks like Portia Williams of the Real Housewives of Atlanta got the final laugh when it comes to Simon Gobadia and their divorce. It looks like their prenuptial agreement will be upheld and she will be getting a nice payday. And I really just would like to tell Ralph Pittman, Mr. Drew Sidora, we really do not care about what you think or the reason behind your divorce, because ultimately we think you are the problem. I know a lot of you have been hitting me up talking about how Ralph Pittman, aka Mr. Drew Sidora, has been crashing out on social media. He's been crashing out. And I tell you, I really do not like thirsty clout chasing individuals, especially when they come across our screens as the husbands of these housewives, because it's his desperate attempt at attention. And honestly, I don't think Drew Sidora is perfect. I don't think Drew Sidora has told us the truth all the time. However, I am Team Drew on this one. So Ralph, and I'm not going to even share the receipts for you. You can go shout out to our friends over at the Bravo Shade Room. You can see all the receipts and things like that over there. Or just go to Ralph's Instagram page. Ralph has been posting text messages, pictures of Drew Sidora with Ty Young. I think we all can say, yes, there was something that happened between Drew Sidora and Ty Young. At this particular point in time, Mr. Drew Sidora, why is it relevant? Do what Halle Bailey is doing. Stop coming to the internet and go to the court. If this is the reason behind your fight and your battle, go to court. At this particular point, we the people, the fans of Real Housewives, the fans of Real Housewives of Atlanta, the fans of Drew Sidora, do not care.
Loser!
And you crashing out makes you look bad. And the fact that he said, oh, the whole Tampa storyline was just a storyline. Drew came out and said, it was one of our RHOA producers that found out about the whole Tampa incident. It wasn't something that you guys concocted together. Honestly, again, I don't care, because based off of your actions, Ralph, shows us exactly who you are and why Drew should have never gotten with you. And unfortunately for Drew, she has to co-parent with you for the next how many umpteen years. But at least she can say, you know what? I am one step closer to being rid of this person. But since we're talking about being rid of this person, as you know, we did a separate video just the other day that Simon Gobadia has been released from ICE and deported back to Nigeria. But on June 11th, they had a court date to finalize their divorce and to see whether or not the court was going to uphold their prenuptial agreement. A prenuptial agreement, I will remind you, that was delayed, which delayed their actual wedding, their first wedding that they were supposed to have. It was pushed back because of Simon Gobadia not releasing his financials. But you may have seen Portia, I don't remember if it was on her YouTube channel or if it was on the current season of Real Housewives of Atlanta. She said that what happened with Cordell, she did not want to happen this time around. And it's a different situation because now she has PJ to think about. And based off the prenup, she was going to be taken care of. Despite them only being married 2 years, these were the details of the prenup. So shout out to our friends over at The Reality Blurb. They are letting us know and giving us an update on the fact that Portia Williams has finalized her divorce and the prenuptial agreement is going to take care of her. And maybe she won't come back next season because she doesn't really need to based off of this prenuptial agreement. Well, at least for a time. Portia has expensive taste. Portia Williams scored a big win in court this week against Simon Gobadia. Following Simon's deportation back to Nigeria, the 43-year-old Real Housewives of Atlanta star appeared in court with her ex both via Zoom, where Simon, 61, was ordered to pay her $40,000 a month in alimony and grant her ownership of their Rolls Royce. Because remember, he was on social media talking about taking back her Rolls Royce, but she still had it in possession, so she gets to keep it. And a Rolls Royce is a pretty penny, too. So Portia Williams won in divorce court. A judge ruled to enforce her prenup with her ex, Simon Gobadia, a host confirmed on the June 12th episode of The Breakfast Club. Now, that is a huge deal because they've been going back and forth over several things, including the home that she currently lives in, the car, and the Rolls Royce. According to the host, who spoke to a source close to the court, Portia will receive $40,000 payments from Simon each month for 14 to 15 months. All of her legal fees will be paid, and she'll also receive the Rolls Royce he bought. As for their $7 million marital home, Portia has from 2024 to 2027 to decide whether she wants to remain living in the home or sell it. However, because the residence was a premarital asset of Simon's, the RHOA cast member will have to refinance and buy Simon out of his portion if she wants to stay. As the court insider explained, Simon has 50% equity in the property. While Portia considers whether she'll remain in the home, Simon will be paying the expenses related to the property, including the mortgage payment. So she gets to live there at least for the next 3 years, mortgage-free. The source went on to share that the June 11th court hearing went all day from 9:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. and saw no direct interactions between Portia and Simon. Then at the end of the day, Simon was said to have walked away pissed. Simon is exploring the options of an appeal. He has 30 days to file this with the court, the host shared. Portia filed for divorce from Simon in February of 2024, just 15 months after their wedding. Here's the thing. I understand why he's walking away pissed, because he was the one trying to contest their prenuptial agreement. I don't understand why he would, because he's claiming fraud. He's saying that she wanted to go back to reality television. That was never their plan. However, I call BS on that, because literally when she made the announcement, you guys were still okay. She said, who said that Portia Williams is coming back to RHOA? She said it's actually Portia Gobadia. And honestly, you guys haven't been married that long for you to be like, oh, the prenuptial agreement is null and void. And I'm not surprised that the court upheld it. You're mad because you knew what you agreed to in that prenuptial agreement, which is probably part of the reason why you delayed it, along with delaying revealing your finances to Portia and her lawyers at the time. You probably knew that you did not want to pay any of what you have to now pay her. $40,000 a month for 14 to 15 months. You got to pay the mortgage on this home that you can't live in. You can't even step into the country. Sir, instead of battling, fighting this, you might want to continue to figure out if you can even come back to the country, even though maybe you should let that go too. But I believe he has other things here. So what happens to all of that when you're deported? I don't know the details of that. If you do know the details of that, if you're deported, what happens to your assets here? Who knows? At this particular point, who cares? Portia, good for you, girl. Good for you. Andy Cohen is not going anywhere when it comes to Bravo or NBC Universal. They've just renewed his contract until 2027. Not only that, the Traitors cast for season 4 has been revealed. And as you already know, Real Housewives of Potomac star Monique Samuels is returning and revealing that she has been asked at least 7 times to return.
She explains why exactly she decided this time around this was the time. Here's your Bravo roundup on this Friday the 13th. So we have a bunch of Bravo NBC Universal related news to talk about. But first, I do want to talk about Traitors, because a lot of you have been hitting me up. Because you know I love Traitors. I think it's a fantastic show. I love the other iterations in the UK. I prefer the UK because it's all unknown people that we can't predict on how they're going to play the game. No matter if you're a Survivor fan or a Housewives fan. Well, I've already had a lot of tea in regards to who was going to be on season four. If you were at the London show, I had spilled that Nene was going to be a part of this cast, but now it's been revealed that Nene is not. I'm going to reveal to you exclusively, Nene dropped out. Nene was supposed to be. Portia is her replacement. So let's get into this first in regards to the Traitors cast. So they said Housewives and Survivors, Donna, Kelshi, oh my. They said Peacock has announced that the cast for season four of its hit reality competition series, The Traitors, which will premiere in early 2026, which feels very long way away. And it is familiar mix of stars from other reality television shows, as well as athletes and a few complete wild cards. They said, once again, The Real Housewives is well represented with five stars because it's on Bravo. They really do. Housewives is treated over at Bravo and NBC as like the glory child. And other Bravo celebrities have talked about how they are treated like the redheaded stepchild when it comes to how they're treated versus Real Housewives. So Peacock announced that their season four cast, and once again, the Real Housewives will have five stars. Dorinda Medley, who was on the last season, she made such a big stink about being killed off so early. So of course they're like, oh, we'll bring you back this time around. I'm sure she made a big stink behind the scenes as well. Lisa Rinna will be a part of the cast. Candace Dillard Bassett, if you are a Club Campfire member, I already revealed a lot of this information. Caroline Stanberry, that was, I don't know if I spilled that in my podcast episode, but I knew about Caroline returning, well, making a return to television on Traitors. And Portia Williams from the Bravo franchise making their way to Scotland. They will be joined by in the castle by three Survivor players, Rob Castornino, Yam Yam Arasho, Natalie Anderson, also from The Amazing Race, as well as two Big Brother contestants, Ian Terry and Tiffany Mitchell. Come on, Cookout. She's actually a really good player, so it will be interesting to see. I'm happy to see her return. And representatives from The Bachelor, who cares? Colton Underwood, Dancing with the Stars, Mark Ballas. Oh, RuPaul's Drag Race, Monet Exchange. That will be interesting to watch. Top Chef, Kristen Keish, and Love Island, Maura Higgins, and Robert Rausch. Of course, there are also some other wild cards thrown into the mix. Olympic figure skater, Tara Lipinski, and Johnny Ware. Johnny Ware is a big personality. So that should be a good mix of personalities. We'll be a part of the season four cast, as well as K-pop singer, Eric Nam, comedian Ron Funches, One Tree Hill star, Stephen Coletti, actor Michael Rapaport, and America's most famous football mom, Donna Kelsey. Did I say Kelsey before? Sorry, Kelsey, mother of Travis and Jason. That would be interesting because I know nothing about her. So it's interesting that she's doing reality television. I don't know how I feel about that. How do you guys feel about that? Okay. Anyway, let's move on. So that's the cast. That is the cast of the new season. I don't know who I'm rooting for just yet. And it won't automatic because are there any housewives that I would root for? Candace, I think Candace would be actually interesting because she's smart and witty. And for those that are going to miss her being a part of Real Housewives of Potomac, this is where you'll get your feel of her. And for those that were saying, oh, Candace dropped the bag in regards to coming on Real Housewives of Potomac, I have to remind you guys, Candace was not fired from Potomac. They would have rolled out the red carpet for Candace to share her pregnancy and life after pregnancy on the show right now. Please understand that. So for those that saw the pictures of her at NBC Universal and things like that, well, that was because she was talking about Traitors. But if you're a Club Campfire member, you already knew that. Anyway, I'm not a Candace stan, but I'm fair. Let's move on from there and talk about Andy Cohen. Andy Cohen, and I believe this. I believe Andy is the one that puts out these rumors that he's not returning. It's the oldest play in the game book. of trying to get people like, no, Andy can't leave. Oh my God, we're gonna miss Daddy Andy at the network. The network will be nothing without Andy. I feel like this was a contract ploy. Because you remember, these contracts are discussed for months before they finalize and come to terms. And NBC, based on what I'm hearing, there are a lot of cutbacks in a lot of different ways. And I know what you're thinking, why would they cut back on Andy? Because they're cutting back across the board. So I'm sure Andy wants a certain price because Andy feels like he is almighty. But at the same time, you have to keep in mind, they've also had a lot of lawsuits involving Andy and what he's been accused of. Please understand, the suits are going to come in. Well, Andy, like, you're fantastic, but we can't give you the big money that you want this season because we're facing a lot of legal backlash because of you and your behavior behind the scenes. And remember, we all speculated some of his behavior on Watch What Happens Live in the last few months was like, oh, maybe Andy is leaving because of the things he was saying and doing on his Watch What Happens Live show. But now Andy has been finally renewed. They said Bravo has renewed Andy Cohen's late night show, Watch What Happens Live, through 2027, keeping the former TV executive at the brand for years to come as a host and producer. NBC Universal also extended Cohen's First Look deal through 2028. Cohen will also continue to host reunions and specials and serve as the executive producer on the Real Housewives franchise. And please understand, when he's making these contract negotiations, he's saying, I must be the host of the Traitors Reunion. I must be the host of Married to Medicine, shows that he does not produce. And then the shows that he produced, obviously, are going to be like, fine, you can be the producer of it. Even though we feel like the execs probably do feel like, well, let's change it up a bit. Yeah, you're fantastic at your job, but let's shake it up a bit and have different hosts for the reunion to actually draw more attention to your shows that are steadily declining. Sidebar, Real Housewives of Miami's ratings this week. What, 200 and something thousand viewers? But here's the thing. Quiet as is kept, Real Housewives Miami is the best show that they have in the Real Housewives franchise. They've been consistent for at least 3 seasons since their reboot. And their premiere was stellar. And a lot of people told me that the only reason why they even knew that the new season started was because I recapped the premiere. Mind you, Bravo didn't send me a press release. And look, they don't need to. It's a show I enjoy. But I do have over 500,000 followers on YouTube, over a quarter of a million followers on TikTok. You don't think maybe let's invite Kempire to the premiere party that you guys had in Miami? I'm not asking for these things, but I'm talking about if you really want your show to be successful, wouldn't it be obvious to collaborate with someone that one of the largest audiences that are talking about this show and actually likes this show? I didn't get a screener when it comes to Real Housewives of Miami's premiere. But I'm sure these other people did.
Yup, 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 yup.
Or consistently get screeners in regards to it. I'm not asking for any of these things, but I'm just talking about the reason why Real Housewives Miami didn't do well this week with 290,000 viewers for their premiere with a 0.05 in their demo. Look, I'm fair. I'm going to talk about all of the ratings not being great. However, at least with Real Housewives of Atlanta, they had these housewives on Watch What Happens Live. They had them at all the media outlets every single week leading up to this new show in the new season. They didn't do that for Real Housewives of Miami. I don't know why they don't do that, but they didn't do it. Yeah, so Andy Cohen is back. Okay. They said, after more than 20 years with Bravo, I'm full of intense gratitude that I get to continue living out my dream here, Andy said in a statement. I'm excited to keep growing our successes across NBC Universal's incredible portfolio. And most of all, thankful that I, along with my team, get to keep doing what we love most. Congratulations, Andy. I just wish you would be more of an ally when it comes to some of the other young talent.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Talent that you have over that's signed as media personalities at NBC Universal. I just wish that you would highlight those individuals, more specifically the people of color, the black ones, because you are in a position of power. You could literally launch your predecessor, but your ego's too big to do that. And I say that, and this is not, I don't work for NBC Universal. I'm not talking about giving me the job. I don't want the job. Because I'm not trying to shuck and jive so that you guys can get me to say what you want to say for your reunions. That's why I love having my own platform. I'm talking about the people that do work for NBC Universal. One of them could have hosted these reunions. And I'm not saying that Andy's bad at hosting reunions. Yes, some reunions, yes. But especially when we're talking about black issues, yeah, we don't need the white overlord moderating those conversations. We've seen how problematic that has been over the years. And I'm going to keep saying it. I don't care. All of y'all are like, oh, Daddy Andy. Okay. And Injustice Anywhere, it's a threat to justice everywhere. It's not you today, but it can be you and whatever marginalized community you're from tomorrow. Let me talk about Monique Samuels. So here's the thing with Monique. Monique was on live the other day. And she was answering questions as to why she decided to return to Real Housewives of Potomac, because she has said in so many interviews over the years that she doesn't want to return to reality television. On her last season, she had told Andy about that little check, and everyone's like, oh, now she's back for that little check. To me, it makes sense for Monique to return because her life has changed dramatically over the last few years. She's gotten a divorce. She's now a single mother, and she didn't get... Not that she was trying to get, but she didn't get some sort of, she's not getting alimony from Chris. She got like a lump sum. And word on the street is that with that lump sum, she bought the house that she's living in now. So fine. In this live though that she did, she says her essential oil business is doing extremely well. She's working on a book. And I was like, oh, so you want to promote stuff. Monique is about her money. And I can appreciate a smart businesswoman. But I want to remind you what Monique said about production and the network back in December of 2024. Shout out to our friends over at The Reality Rundown and my friend Taria from the What Else Is Going podcast, because she reminded me of what Monique said. Because I already told you, Monique will tell you some truth and tell you a lie at the same time. So this is what Monique said back in December of 2024 in an interview. I think it was on Fox there in the DMV.
And listen, I was ready to unleash and unload, and they didn't show half of what was done. To this day, I still recall certain things that
Monique is talking about what happened during the season 5 reunion. And I remember her talking about this back then, that a lot of what happened at this reunion, including a meltdown from Giselle Bryant, they did not show. And that was part of her motivation for not returning.
Or that happened that weren't shown. Like there was this one point where after the binder, the biggest memory that I have and the thing that I hate that they didn't show with Giselle, she was so upset and she was so quiet after lunch, like had nothing to say. When Chris came out and pretty much read her, she lost it and she just blurted out, F you! She like lost it and they never showed it, but she lost it. And I was like, that pretty much summed up, you know, why I left, because they were constantly protecting the people who should have been exposed and show who they really are on and off camera. And they kept these protections for people to the extent of not even protecting, you know, my innocent children and those whole narratives that they were trying to point out. And it just got me to a point where I was just like, you know what? I don't have to deal with this. This is too much. And I decided to walk away.
Why do you think that pick and choose protection, if that's what it was there in the first place?
Well, if you're a puppet master, you're going to keep your puppets. So the ones that you can control, the ones that you can get to do what you want them to do, you're going to keep those people. But the ones who speak up like me and say, no, that's not me. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that. We're the ones that get the hardest time because we're not doing what they want us to do. We're not creating the show that they want. We're still trying to maintain a sense of who we are.
So here's the thing. She referred to production, the network, as the puppet master, and of course, Giselle as a puppet. She also talked about how she felt like they did not protect her children. So you return to a platform that you accuse of being puppet masters? I find that to be interesting. But let's take a look as to what Monique had to say about why she decided to return, because she says they asked her multiple times, because people still speculate that Monique was fired. Word on the street, she was not fired. They definitely were open to her returning. She still had a good relationship with the network. They even wanted her to do Ultimate Girls Trip at one particular point, according to her.
Since I've been gone, every time I've been asked, I've been like, no. Even this year, like literally, I said, I declined probably a good 7 times. And then something happened. Something changed. And I was just like, I'm not the person that I was. And a lot of the reasons that I said no was because of the person that I was, you know? And I'm not her anymore. So what better way to test my healing? But no, for real, I have been running from the platform that gave me a foundation out here in these streets. And when I really thought about it, what was keeping me from returning was a lot of fear, and it was also a lot of PTSD, you know? I was built way different then. I'm built a little better now. And giving everything that I have going on in my life between my business, Millie of Essentials, which has been extremely successful, and then also my book that I've been working on, which for anyone who's been following me consistently, y'all know I've been talking about my book for like at least 2 years now.
And there it is. I think she sees what being on this platform can do for her. Not only, because I don't know about the essential oils business. I don't hear people talking about going to, and I'm sure it's fine. But her emphasis on how extremely successful that it's doing, fine. But for me, her return, and look, some might say, good for her. That's actually really smart. You have a book that you want to write. I don't know how many people are going to actually buy the book, but who knows? But her, for me, in this moment, I was like, oh, so this is why you decided to return to the puppet master and smile and shuck and jive to be around Giselle. And maybe she won't. Again, we won't know until we see it actually play out. Will there be a sit down that actually is an authentic sit down between Monique and Giselle? And they come to a place where like, oh, I think for the audience, they also need this conversation. They also need to see this healing when it comes to what happened between Candace, Monique, and Giselle. But you're not going to get the peace between Candace and Monique because Candace is not there. Because if you remember during this time, it was very toxic when it comes to the fan base. When you talk about Real Housewives New Jersey toxic, no, the fans were very divided on the Monique and Candace of it all. So there are still a lot of people saying they don't want to see Monique return. This video is not about how I feel about Monique returning or not returning. I'm okay with Monique returning if her intention is to hawk this book so she can sell some books or some more essential oils. Good for you. I do think that she was a very critical part. She left on a very high note of her time on Real Housewives of Potomac. So it will be interesting to see her return and to see this quote unquote growth. I don't know, because literally just in December, which is just 6-7 months ago, you were talking the same thing that you've been talking about when it comes to them being the puppet master and puppets and them not protecting you or your children. I just don't know if I would return to a platform that I would accuse of that. But then again, NeNe's ready to return to a platform that she accused them of being racist. So then there's that.
It's been a work in progress. It's also something that's near and dear to me. And I love that you'll not only be able to see the levels of growth that I've achieved when you read my book, but you'll also be able to see it now on TV as well. So I have been able to move past that, and it's my season. I'm stepping into my season. You know, I feel like everything that I've gone through up until this point has been for this moment, and I'm really excited. And Yes, yes, yes. I'm not worried. You know, I'm like, I put my ego in check a long time ago. I put my ego in check during Love and Marriage DC. How about that? But I've grown so much and I know who I am, you know, and, I have nothing to prove.
And for those of us that did watch Love and Marriage DC, I think that with her leaving on such a high note for Real Housewives Potomac, she left Love and Marriage DC on a low note. I think a lot of people were reminded what they didn't like necessarily about Monique or Monique's relationship with Chris. And she didn't like how she was depicted. We talked about that. We're not going to revisit that. But she talked about that. She said that Carlos did her worse than Bravo did her. And said that he tried to bring her, lure her in with on the black card. I know we're talking about Carlos. But when you notice a pattern of behavior, and Carlos has his own pattern of behavior. But I'm also noticing a pattern of behavior when it comes to Monique. I'm open to seeing what she's going to offer us in this new season 10 of Real Housewives Potomac. But I will always have my good, well, both are good, both my good eyes on Monique this season and to see how authentic she will show up. Again, she's only coming in as a friend of this season. So there won't be a lot that we will necessarily get from her. But will it be enough? We shall see. Let me talk about the Diddy, the diddler. Okay. So, you know, Jane, the pseudonym that she's using, she was an ex-girlfriend of Diddy, was on the stand for 6 days. 6 days. She testified this last week and week and a half, really. And a lot of people have a lot of opinions. Fine. This video is not about that. I did want to talk about the juror in this case. So, okay. So there's a couple things. I want to talk about Kanye showing up. Okay, and I talked about this in my Diddy update, but I wanted to talk more because Jane testified to attending another popular rapper's own freak off, where a woman and an S worker that she had at one of the Diddy freak offs was there performing in front of all these people. So a lot of people put two and two together in regards to the timeline of things, and they figured out that, oh, this must be Kanye, which was interesting that Kanye showed up this week, wasn't even able to make it into the courtroom because he showed up late and you got to be there first come, first serve. Okay. And apparently probably didn't tell Diddy. And I now really do believe that he showed up thinking that Jane would still be on the stand because the day before there were rumors that he was going to show up. Then, of course, he came the next day. I'm thinking that he was coming there to be on the stand. I feel like that was an intimidation tactic. I don't know if it was planned from Diddy or if it was planned just by Kanye coming there to show up and do what exactly. That part for me felt weird and orchestrated by either Diddy or Kanye. But Kanye couldn't even get into the room. And he ended up leaving like 40 minutes later. He only witnessed the assistant testifying. I'm glad that he didn't make it into the room when Jane was testifying, because I think that probably would have affected her. Because now you have this other powerful man in the room that's not behind bars and could say or do something. So I'm going to stand on that hill or die on that hill, as they say, because I do now believe that Kanye may have been the other rapper that she was talking about that had his girlfriend, has been doing similar antics with, like Diddy's been doing. And this is why Kanye is defending Diddy. However, let's get into a little bit more receipts as to confirm that this could be Kanye.
Did Kanye West show up to the Diddy trial? Yes. And here's video of him arriving at the Lower Manhattan courthouse. Now, I was already inside the courthouse when this was happening, but another reporter who was outside told me that it was around 10 a.m. when he pulled up in a Maybach with three security guards and went inside. I'm told he went through the normal entrance and had to go through security like everybody else. There were rumors that he showed up yesterday and was denied entry, but there is no evidence of that. But I will say that I was tipped off last week that he was coming, so he didn't catch the court officers off guard. Now, the timing of this is interesting because a lot of you guys have been speculating that he's the rapper that Jane mentioned in her story. Jane testified that in January of 2024, she went to Vegas with a very successful rapper, an iconic rapper, and his wife and girlfriend for her birthday on a private plane. And it was during that trip that she ran into one of the escorts that she and Diddy used to use because he knew this couple. And then the couple approached her and asked her if she could recommend an escort who was part of this lifestyle. Now, I can't confirm if it's Kanye and Bianca, but I will say that I found out through my research that in his song that sounds like Bail Bitler, that you probably haven't listened to because it's titled Bail Bitler, he calls himself a cuck and says that he likes to watch his woman have sex with other men. I pronounced it right this time. And Bianca's birthday is in January. And on January of 2024, she and Kanye celebrated her birthday in Vegas. There are pictures of them at dinner and then the strip club. And then something I'm surprised didn't get more attention than it did was a lawsuit filed by a woman claiming to be Kanye's former personal assistant. And in her lawsuit, Lauren Pisciotta, who I hope I'm saying her last name right, alleges some pretty disturbing things, including that she claims that he masturbated while talking to her on the phone, and that on one occasion he was pleasuring himself in front of her after trapping her in a room on his plane.
And don't forget, there was an interview that Kenya Moore, who went out on a date with Kanye a long time ago, talked about her hanging out with Kanye. I think they went back to a studio, and then he disappeared, and she went to go find him, and he was in another room watching Korn. I'm sure we could find it somewhere, and you would be able to. I'm not going to play it for you here, but I remember literally rewatching that video where she talked about it not too long ago.
According to this article, among the disturbing accusations, the lawsuit claims that Wes's office was transformed into a sexual playground, while Sensori acted as his sex party coordinator and willing participant in the rapper's twisted sexual fantasies. And there's more. The suit also states that Wes frequently hosted sex parties at luxury hotels and tried to expose Lauren Pisciotta, that's the former assistant, to them. He further claims that Sensori was his former sex party participant and coordinator. And then there's...
And that's the thing, too. There's nothing wrong if you guys are consenting adults and you want to party the way that you want to party. The problem here is trying to involve people that work for you that don't want to do this.
This incident on August 2022, after Pisciotta had arranged an Uber ride, Kanye West and Bianca called her wanting to discuss the orgy fivesome that they had participated in the day before. In her lawsuit, the former assistant says on August 7, 2022, when she was asked to organize an Uber ride for a female Yeezy employee to one of the rapper's sex parties, Ye and Bianca contacted her separately the following day to interrogate her about the requested Uber ride and discuss the party. I also came across this blog post from January of 2024, just a few days after Bianca's birthday, and it reads, we're told his latest idea for attention, turning up with Bianca at some very exclusive sex parties. It then goes on to say he's very into X-rated stuff and is interested in the idea of people watching him and Bianca doing the deed. Those kind of events are more common in Hollywood than people realize, so he won't have any problem finding one.
But now let's get into the whole issue with the jury. And the person that we're utilizing for this report is journalist Mona... Let me make sure I get her name. Mona Kosar Abdi, journalist who was part of ABC News. Now, I believe she's with one of the other entertainment magazines that's out there. So she's been covering this case on TikTok, and I love her breakdown and summaries of what she's witnessing in court. So I want to play for her, play what she talked about in regards to juror number six. If you listen to our recap from yesterday, and probably if you're listening on the podcast today, where we talked about juror number six being dismissed. So she gives another breakdown as someone that was in the room when the judge made the decision.
Just stepped out of the courtroom, and moments ago, juror number six on the Diddy trial was kicked off the jury, with the judge saying there's reason to believe that he intentionally deceived the court so that he could get on the jury. Now, the issue over juror number six has been looming all week, and it all started with an offhand comment he made about living in New Jersey. So juror number six is a black man who's 41 years old and from the Bronx. Or so he said. During voir dire, he told the court that he lives with his girlfriend and his daughter in an apartment in the Bronx. But then last week, he said that he moved to New Jersey to live with his girlfriend. It may not be permanent, but he spends most of his time there. So then the court started looking into it to see if...
But what about the kid? This is where, when I was reading to you guys, I was like, something is very fishy here about what he's reporting back.
He even qualified to be a juror in a New York City trial. But then he changed the story and said, no, I still have my New York City apartment, and I stayed there at least 4 to 5 days a week. He was then asked where his daughter lives, and he said, well, she was born in New Jersey. She lives in New Jersey. Asked about his Bronx apartment, he said he lives there with his aunt. So as the judge was addressing this issue, he noted several inconsistencies in his statement. So then the judge said, where does this leave us? And when I tell you, in the courtroom, everyone was on pins and needles. The judge said this can come down to two things. Either this juror can't follow simple instructions, or he's intentionally deceiving the court. The judge said this brings up serious issues about his candor or his ability to follow the court's instructions. And then the judge went on to explain, this is exactly why we have alternates. At this point, Diddy is just shaking his head no. And that's when the judge says, this juror will not be returning on Monday. Diddy is upset. He slightly tosses his arms up and adjusts himself in the chair. Now Diddy's attorney, Xavier Donaldson, stands up and said in a very polite way, judge, I have no idea what you're talking about. There are plenty of people in New York City who go back and forth between New Jersey and New York to see significant others. He said, at the very least, let him come out and explain. He went on to say that this juror has sacrificed a great deal. He's here every day, on time, for weeks, taking notes. And then he threw shade. He said, this one is attentive. I can't say that for all of them. And then Xavier...
Boom. Wow, not shading the jurors, but okay.
Donaldson, who is black, said, there is something I have to say, something I am obligated to say. In my 25 years practicing here in the Southern District, I have never seen a jury this diverse. He said, this is proof that we are moving in the right direction and that actually since 1990, we've been moving backwards. He said, clearly this man is competent. He can read, he can write, he has a good job. This is not a good look. At this point, Diddy is nodding in agreement, and then Xavier Donaldson says, I don't like to play the race card, unless I have it in my hand. I'm not saying I'm playing it now, but the facts are the facts. Then Diddy's lead attorney, Mark Agnifilo, stands up, said, I just want to say for the record that there is a difference between principal jurors and alternates. Then Brian Steele stands up and says, I just want to say that this information has been known since the jury selection process, and it's funny how now that jurors have been making faces and reacting, does it become a problem? I don't know about...
I have to say, I mean, again, these are attorneys. I have to say, when I first saw this video, I was like, well, they did bring up some valid points. The defense brought up some valid points that made me go, hmm. Because a lot of people are also saying that the prosecution has not proven their case. The prosecution still, how many weeks later, they still are on the fence or whether or not the prosecution has really proven S trafficking or racketeering. But again, this juror, me personally, even as a defendant, unless he's planted, because a lot of people in the comment section of this video are saying, oh, Diddy planted this juror. We have to remember, Diddy is New York royalty. And I'm saying that facetiously, but at the same time, no, he's from Harlem. He came up. Remember, he was this icon before he became what he is today. So there are a lot of people in New York that probably revere him still. So it wouldn't be a shock to me that they have their tentacles out there, and that's why this person was selected. However, I think with Diddy, everyone is jumping to some sort of conspiracy theory, even though based off this trial, some of those conspiracy theories were confirmed not to be conspiracy anymore.
All that because remember, it was an offhanded comment that this juror made last week that sparked all of this. And now one of the prosecutors is responding to Donaldson, saying that he is suggesting that we make this decision based on race. And I will say that this juror did put in the work, that he has been paying attention, but so have the alternates. The judge is very calm. He tells them, listen, I hear you. And then says, if this juror said, listen, I go back and forth between New York and New Jersey, it would be all good. He said all of these questions are pretty straightforward, unless he wanted to be on the jury. He says if I keep him, there will be a perception that the jury is tainted. Now, remember, I told you Diddy is an unofficial member of his own defense team. Well, he is writing on these blue sticky notes, handing it to his attorneys. And when he sees that the judge is not budging, he takes off his glasses and then just slowly shakes his head. At one point, I thought he was going to stand up, but he was just handing more sticky notes off. Now, it doesn't seem like the judge is going to change his mind, but he said, if anything changes, I will let you guys know. And then Diddy turns to his family. His sons, Justin and Christian, were there, and his mom. But usually in court, particularly in the afternoon, Justin and Christian are in their own world. They bring a notebook, and they are passing notes back and forth. But today I noticed, especially during that part, they were attentive, even leaning in. So Diddy mouths something to them, but he doesn't look defeated. He just looks like, man. Clearly, this is a big blow to the defense. To put it into context, juror number 6 is one of 8 men on the jury and one of 2 black men.
For me, I felt like their motivation was they felt like, okay, there aren't a lot of black people on this jury. So they wanted that. They wanted the sympathy for that because the defense's defense has been okay, you know, they're just coming after a black man. You know, he's black excellence. So they don't want to lose that. But based off of this juror's statements, it's inconsistent. And I get why people believe that maybe he's working for Diddy's team. Maybe he's been planted in this jury. Because remember, all it takes is one person. One person to screw up this situation. It has to be unanimous in order to get a guilty verdict. It has to be unanimous in order to get not guilty. So, and we don't know what juror number six has been saying to the other jurors, but he did this to himself, being inconsistent. And I wonder, it just sounded very fishy. You're in Jersey. Do you have a girlfriend and a fiance? It just wasn't making any sort of sense. But here we are. Still talking about Diddy, even on the weekend, but I wanted you guys to get an update in regards to people that are inside the courtroom and how it sort of played out. I get where the defense is coming from, but again, you have six alternates that are there every day as well, paying attention to everything that's being said. So that's why they're there, for instances like this. Yes, is it convenient timing for the prosecution this late in the game? Yeah. But I also find it interesting that no one has noticed that Diddy has been making facial expressions to the jury during this entire time, because reporters were saying that they noticed that he was doing that from the beginning of the trial. And apparently that came up again this week as well. Diddy might get kicked out of the court. And as you saw, another reporter is reporting that Diddy is acting very much like he is a part of this defense team. Technically he is. They're defending him, but he is not an attorney. So we shall see how this turns out. It's going to be very interesting when we finally get to the verdict, because at this point, I have no idea how the jury is going to, especially because you're not in the room, you're not seeing everything. Even if you're in the room, you're not seeing everything that they're seeing. Rightfully so, they're trying to protect the individuals that are on these tapes and things like that. So we shall see. And, you know, we're keeping you up to date here on our YouTube channel, but also here on the podcast. So, is Diddy done? Not quite yet. Stay tuned. And that is our weekend update here exclusively on the Kempire podcast. You're hearing it first here. Eventually, we will upload it and make it public to our YouTube page. So shout out to our YouTube fam. But this is another reason why you should subscribe to the Kempire podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify while you're there. Don't forget to give us a 5-star review. And don't forget, we also have Club Kempire on Apple Podcasts. You don't have to have an Apple product in order to subscribe. You can also become a member on their website. So be sure to check that out. We just dropped our BET Awards coverage and thoughts and opinions review, whatever you want to call it. We also dropped a new episode here on the podcast talking about Sloan Bella, the psychic medium, doing a reading of Wendy Williams. So I provide a lot of commentary and context to what she says in that reading. So be sure to check that out here on our podcast exclusively. You won't hear that anywhere else. Thank you so much for listening, guys, for our weekend update. I will see you in the next one.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. As always, you can hear Kempire on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. More information can be found on KempireRadio.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.